Hey guys, we're back for another episode of Insecure Hella Blows. Tune in. Song has a nice bounce to it, right?
Definitely feels like something you would hear in Insecure.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Got Cap G on this, so. Yes. I think it's from LA too.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay, I'm feeling it. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Insecure here on Black Hollywood Live. My name is Ashley Allen. This is episode 6, Hella Blows. And to my left, I have my other lovely co-host.
What's up, guys? I'm your host, Christine Alexis, and you can find me all over social media at Christine Bean with 3 E's. So happy to be here tonight.
Yes, we have a lot to talk about, right?
I know. Last night's episode, just like any of the other episodes this season, it was controversial.
Yes.
Some hot topics, so I definitely want to get into it.
Well, let's jump right into it. So the episode opened up with Issa running out of bed. You know, her alarm went off. She's running out of bed. I'm thinking something bad has happened, you know, because she's running out with her scarf on, her robe on. This girl is going outside just to move her car to the other side of the street. But from living in L.A., that's real life,
it's
right?
It's so real. I like when I saw that, I got literal flashbacks to what happened to me. Actually, 3 weeks ago, I parked on the street instead of in my spot because I was just not paying attention and I didn't realize it was street sweeping the next morning.
Man.
I woke up to a ticket on my car in front of my own house. Girl. And I was like, girl, you should have set an alarm.
Listen, I just
right? Like, how stupid was that? Like,
I just paid 2 parking tickets of my own.
The blow. City of Los Angeles, they want their money, so.
Well, they got it.
Watch out.
So, now let's jump into Molly and Dro. Molly and Dro, oh my gosh, I cannot take them. I knew Molly was going to go back for seconds and thirds and fourths.
I mean, Dro is... You know, he's a little irresistible. Speaking of which, shout out real quick to Sharonis Jackson, who we had on last week's episode. Thanks for coming in to recap it with us.
Yes.
So good having him. If you guys haven't checked that out, check it out. It's up on BHL online. That was last week's episode. But this week, he just continues to, like, any sort of reservations that Molly may have about still seeing him, he finds a way to, like, jokingly pull her back in and tap into that familiarity that they both have in their relationship to get her to come back. And, you know, that scene where he's, like, hitting it from behind and she's just like, it's so good. Like, because she knows. Like,
she knew. But he's so charming. He's tall. He has that voice. Like, she knows she can't resist him. And, again, like we've been saying, they've known each other from childhood. They're comfortable with each other. So that whole getting to know somebody stage is done and over with.
Exactly.
And they've already gone there with each other, so it's kind of like, why not?
I mean, we've yet to see Candace. She's not in the picture as of yet. Next week that may change, but she's not in the picture right now, so any sort of reservations that Molly has about it, you know, she talked to Issa about it, and she's going back and forth between herself. At the end of the day, he's just right there.
Yeah.
How can you say no?
Yeah, and I'm glad that, you know, closer to the beginning of the episode, he calls her to check on her, see if everything's okay, because, I mean, us women, you know, we're a little bit more emotionally connected to, you know, situations like this. So he's calling her up, you know, checking to see if everything's okay. Are there plans still in works? And you can just see the awkwardness all over her face. She kind of just doesn't know how to move forward from here. And Molly.
Poor Molly. What's a girl to do, honestly?
Well, in this situation, she definitely could have not went there, but...
For sure.
We'll get more into that a little later. So now we have Issa and Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Issa is texting Daniel to see if he's available. He's not around. Well, actually, he's in the studio, but he's not around to service her as she wants. So she gets dressed and she goes down to Eddie's house, the neighbor who she was smashing a few episodes ago. And when he opens the door, to her surprise, he already has a guest there.
I mean, I don't know what she expected just showing up unannounced, though.
You can't do that.
You just can't. I mean, I saw on Twitter a lot of people were commenting, especially guys, putting out their point of view that never show up to a man's house unannounced unless you're in a relationship, or some people just said even period.
Period.
Which I kind of get, because I don't even show up to my friend's house unannounced. You know, it's just, in this day and age, it's just such a weird thing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not on that level. They had only hooked up once. I mean, you know, she said, I saw your light on. I figured.
Girl.
So when you hit him with a text, like, hey, can I come over?
Right. But don't just assume. Like, she got way too comfortable way too quick. Like, even my family members, they know, don't just pop up in my house. Like, no, let me get a call, text, email, whatever. Like, you just don't just pop up at anybody's house, especially a man that you're messing around with. He's not your man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, who are you to think that that's okay?
I think this was actually a moment where Issa had some reflection going on because she wasn't getting it from Daniel. Neighbor Bay kind of curved her.
Yeah.
So she was, you know, she's asking herself, what's up with my rotation? Like, this is my rotation. This is.
She's supposed to be in control.
Exactly. Supposed to be in control, and now she's not, and she doesn't like it.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was kind of funny, too, how Eddie said, oh, well, if I would have known, you know, we were doing this, I would have never had the other girl here. But I don't know. I just feel like, that comment from him wasn't even necessary either, because they're not together.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Did you find it like disingenuous?
No, I think he was very, I thought it was from the heart, but I just feel like, I don't know, before we even go down that like thought path, like, let's establish some boundaries here. There was no boundaries. She said, hey, you forgot your charger. They smashed and she went home. Like, what else?
Like, when you actually think about it, that's all it was.
All it was. But, I mean, hey, he seems like a good guy, so.
He seems sweet. I feel like he's just loving whatever's coming at him, so.
I agree. So now we move on to Lawrence at work. Poor Lawrence. I feel like Lawrence at this job, you know, he's trying hard, you know, he's happy he finally has a job, he's on his feet, he has an apartment, but, you know, he's giving this presentation at work, and the two people who are supposed to be, you know, telling him whether they like his presentation or not, Cameron and Tim, I believe, they kind of have no real feedback for him. How did that make you feel?
I was trying to read that situation as they were giving him the feedback, and something felt a little off, but I couldn't really place it.
Yeah.
And then when he had a conversation later on with Aparna, is that how you say her name? Aparna. The way she made it seem, I was like, is that really what they thought? Because they didn't give us anything. So I was like, do they actually not like it, or did they just not know what to say? Come to find out, they really didn't like it, and that's a bummer for Lawrence. I think his whole experience right now, which feels so far removed from everything else that's happening in the world of our characters, he's really experiencing what it feels like to be what some call a diversity hire, where he's, definitely, you know, he was possibly hired to be that black face in an office to fill that diversity quota, which is a real thing. A lot of companies do have that.
That token black person.
The stereotype is there for a reason, you know? That's how it is. And I think if his reality shifted in that moment where he realized, okay, like, maybe I'm not crushing it the way I thought I was here.
Yeah.
And that must be a bummer for him, because he doesn't have a woman in his life. You know, every other thing's going wrong. I feel like he shifted gears to put focus into his work, and it just is not turning out the way that he wants.
Yeah. Well, let's see what some people in the chat are saying, if we can get the chat up. I definitely feel like that was a token black person moment, especially, like, all they said was, we like having you on the team. We like having your perspective. They talked about his shoes. They seemed to be more interested in his shoes than anything else. They didn't give him any type of constructive criticism, nothing. And I just felt really bad for Lawrence because, like I said, you can tell he kind of put, like, some real thought into it, was really hoping that this app was going to go forth, and they kind of just swept it under the rug.
Yeah, and even thinking to like, where Lawrence is right now, like, part of the reason why his relationship with Issa deteriorated was because those last 2 years, he was really down on his luck.
Yeah.
Nothing was popping off for him. There were no prospects. So now to finally actually have this job and be in that creative space where he worked so hard to finally get to, and to know that it's just, you know, for nothing, that sucks.
So what do you think? Do you think now that he kind of knows that this is how Cameron and Tim are? Do you think he should kind of go back and try to reorganize his thoughts for this app? Or do you think he learned anything on how to deal with them moving forward?
Yeah, I think he, now that he knows what's up, it'll change his approach. And hopefully the conversation that he had with Aparna teaches him not to, like, let it get to him. Because yeah. he could be putting out quality work, and he needs to just keep at it. I think she said something like, you know, letting go of this is giving you space for something new. Mm-hmm. And he could take every little lesson that he learned from the situation, what he put into it, how they reacted to it, and what the situation is as a whole, to just kill it the next time.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he does, because I think Lawrence... this is Lawrence's niche, so hopefully he learns from this and is able to develop something more and move forward.
Yeah, I want to see. I'm team Issa. Like, let's not get it twisted.
Right?
But I do want to see Lawrence succeed as a black man. Like, I want to see him thrive and, you know, come to his senses. But
and could we see a possible love interest here with Lawrence and Aparna? Did you catch that?
I was catching that. Right? Those little vibes, the flirty looks.
Yeah.
I mean, when he ditched Tasha's barbecue, he was hanging out with her and everyone mm-hmm. else at work. So that's something that I think the writers and the producers were kind of giving us breadcrumbs towards.
Yep, yep.
That those two will hit it off. So
I think that's something to look out for. So let's move on to Molly and Issa. They are at the car shop waiting for Issa's car to get priced to see how much it's going to cost to get fixed. And in the midst of that, they're having a conversation about what Molly is going to say to Joe, about how they should just be friends, how they should move forward, how she feels weird and all that stuff like that. And I kind of feel like, just based on that conversation, I feel like Molly is maybe putting too much thought into it.
Because, in what way?
Because in the beginning, Joe told her what it was. This is an open relationship. You know, there's no feelings, nothing. Like, it's just sex. And I feel like now, well, at least in this part of the episode, like, she's showing how emotionally attached already she kind of is putting this into. And I don't know if maybe it's because, like we said, they grew up together and that's where it's coming from. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's it. I think they just have so much history, and she probably never saw that happening. So to have it happen now, and it's not like they just kissed or like they had right. an awkward moment. Like, they fucked. So she's like, okay, total freak out mode.
What does this mean?
What does this mean? Where are we going? Which I can't blame her. Like, first of all, I would be so shook to have sex with someone who's my close friend, who's right. married to another close friend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she stopped seeing her therapist. She has no one to talk this out with. She doesn't know how to handle it. It just makes sense. Molly is in the red danger zone right now.
She is. She's so messed up emotionally right now. And it being Dro specifically is not helping
her. I feel like she doesn't. Like, she's trying to convince herself to not like it, but she knows she does.
She does.
She's struggling with it.
She is. It's okay. It's okay.
I feel you, girl. I feel you.
So let's move on to Issa and her date with Nico.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious.
Poor Nico.
Nico comes over, and they're supposed to be going out on a dinner date, but she invites him in, have some wine, because her skirt is in the dryer.
What about the rest of her shirt? That's what I wanted to know. We over here, oh, this my skirt. Issa, you had your full-on bra out over your scoop neck tee.
She had everything out.
It just felt so, like, trashy 1999, like, look at me.
Video girl.
Yeah, it was so weird for her character.
It was very weird.
I mean, she's awkward. That's Issa.
She's awkward. But I was glad to see that he kind of, like, he pushed her off and said, no, you know, I want to get to know you. And I think Insecure is doing a great job this season with the role reversals.
Because mm-hmm.
normally you would see a man in Issa's role trying to, all he's worried about is smashing.
Yeah.
And now you have the woman doing that and the man saying, hey, I just want to get to know you. Let's not move too fast. So I think that's kind of refreshing. And I think it's hilarious that, again, the D that she's trying to get in this episode is not available. Her rotation is all messed up this episode.
You know, Mercury's in retrograde. You know, all her rotation's messed up. Things are not going well for Issa.
It's not.
No, but you're right about the role reversals. And especially considering they met on Tinder, where people literally meet to smash most of the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, aside from the rare instances where it turns into something more. And he's an older dude, attractive guy. He seems like he has money, educated. Like, he could easily just play into this situation and get what he wants. But seems like he actually, you know, really wants to get to know her. And I don't think that Issa is actually ready for that. Like, when I was thinking about that encounter with her character, I was like, well, he's fine. He could, and if he's good, you know, she could just move on with him. She doesn't need to have a hotation. She doesn't even need to have all these other things that are taking up her time and her focus. But I realized, like, the last real thing that she had was with Lawrence. And then after things got so messy with Daniel, I think that's why she really just wants to keep everybody at arm's length where she can control the situation.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, no, just sex. Like, that's all I wanted. And I think she's her character is afraid to get that deep with somebody right now.
Yeah, as I don't think she should get emotionally deep with someone, because all of this hotation and all this freedom stuff she's doing right now, she's doing it not because she wants to. I feel like she's doing it because she needs to, because she's hurt. Like, because she's
been in a good way to cope?
Yeah, she's been in a relationship for so long, she's probably feels like, well, what have I missed out on? So let me take advantage of this situation while I'm free, because Lawrence is out here doing his thing, so why should I not?
That's absolutely true.
That's where
true.
I think this is coming from. She's like, well, Lawrence is doing his thing. Let me do mine out here, because I'm not thinking about him.
She ain't thinking about nobody but herself. Mm. Like, let's be real.
She needs to think about it. This girl.
So, yes, but then Nico's out. He leaves.
He leaves.
The
he
date's
bounces.
Over before it starts.
She didn't even want to go to dinner with him.
Girl, you know how many people, like, free dinner. Hello.
Right?
At least get that. Like,
she said, no, peace, it's over. Oh, my God. So, we have somebody in the chat that says she's insecure.
I like that.
She definitely is insecure. That's where all of this behavior is coming from.
Yeah. She's still the awkward black girl. Late to the party. Hey, guys.
Hey. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, I hope Issa, this whole phase ends for her soon, because she's wearing herself out for no reason.
Yeah. Because as much as, like you said, like, after being in a long-term relationship, yeah, it might be good to let loose and have fun. Like, I'm not judging in any way, like, in terms of having that phase. But I think also after a breakup, it's also a good time to use that to just work on yourself a little bit and recharge before you give more of your emotional and physical self to someone else. But
how much recharging can you do when you're always up under somebody or always chasing the D, always on Tinder, you know?
It's a tricky thing to navigate, too. Because, like, you know, we're also grown. I'm sure Issa wants some. She's craving the attention, the intimacy that she doesn't have anymore. So I think right now her character is just grasping for straws. Like, wherever she can get it, that's what she wants.
Yeah, definitely. So we move on to the next scene. We have Joe and Molly. They finally meet up at the bar. Molly jumps right into it. She's talking about how she thinks that things have changed, this, this, and that. Fast forward, what do we see next? Dro and Molly smashing again. Dro's little booty has been all over this episode. His cheeks
oh
have
my
been
God.
All
his
over this
cheeks,
episode.
His chest, every little bit that the directors want to give us has been
has
out there.
Been there. And, man, I mean, he's putting in work again, and Molly's loving it.
She just can't say no.
What did you see that coming?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even going to lie. I'm like, because she worked herself up, got all the way there, and he was like, girl, shut up and eat your fries. Just chill out.
Yeah.
Like, he's too smooth for her right now. Like
he
I said,
is.
It's just her and him right now, so.
But that's because he knows her. He knows what to say. He already,
exactly.
Before she even said that she was freaking out, he already knew that. So he knows how to handle her, which can be dangerous for her.
That's dangerous. Sometimes the people closest to you are the ones who know how to manipulate you the
oh,
most.
Man.
They know
you
you're
don't preach
you're
up in
weak.
Here.
Yo, girl, yeah. You know.
Those are the most dangerous ones. Because your guard is let down. When you meet somebody new, like, your guard is up. You're getting to know them, stuff like that. But
so,
when it's someone you know.
At this point, like, how do you feel about Dro's character? Because I, up until this episode, I was like, maybe they really are in an open relationship, an open marriage. Maybe this isn't BS. Maybe this whole character arc is about Molly needing to be more open. But then after last night, the way that he like left to go help his wife because she was locked out. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, I'll see you next weekend. Like, starting to see the tendencies that he's doing with their interaction is making me like question if he's a good dude or not.
I feel like he has Molly's best interests at heart because they've grown up together. But at the same time, I think that's only going to last for so long. Right. And I think because now that they've got the first couple smashes out of the way, like, I'm sure this is something that he's thought about for a long time. Because there's even a quote that he said. He said, we can either keep talking about this or we can choose to be in it. So based on that and based on how things are going, like you said, he had to get up and leave his wife. And he said, I'll call you next weekend when I have time. This whole fantasy thing that I think Molly think this is going to turn into is not what is going on in Joe's mind.
Yeah.
And she's going to end up getting hurt by him.
I mean, Molly is not a, you know, late night, sometimes on the weekend kind of girl. Like, no. It seems like she needs a lot more from someone she wants to be committed to, so.
And that's what she's looking for. She's looking for commitment, not to be the weekend girl, because that's what she's about to be. Yeah. And then why are they renting a hotel room? She has her own apartment. No,
she's a lawyer. She got money.
So why are they at a hotel?
Okay, and that's another thing, too, because, like, if this was really okay and this was the situation, then why should they be afraid to be seen with each other?
Does that make trying to make it not so intimate, not so personal if they go to a hotel versus going to each other's, like, personal space?
That's true. I didn't even think about it that way. I feel like just hotels, though, just feel more, like, sleazy to me. Like, it feels so, like, okay, we're doing this on the low type thing, where if Candace was okay and knew, then why do you have to hide?
Exactly. Molly needs to watch out. I don't think Joel's going to hurt her on purpose, but I definitely think he's going to throw her that, well, you know what it was. I told you, line. That's what's going to happen.
Like, you know, we've been cool forever. You know, this
you know
is
what
just
this is. Because he even said, she asked him, well, do you feel like you have to sleep with other women? He said, no, not yet. So there's going to come a point in time when she's no longer the focus for him. He's going to find another chick that he wants to sleep with, and she's going to be pushed out of the picture, and she's going to have a problem with it.
That's crazy. I forgot if he said this or not in the last episode when I think they had a conversation about if he had been with anybody else since they have decided that this was supposed to be an open marriage.
He said yeah.
Yeah, he said yeah, like yeah. He slept with other women. So you're right. It's like, there's an expiration date on Molly. I think he'll try to handle it carefully enough because they've known each other for a long time, but he's still a dude who wants what he wants.
Yeah. And this is an open relationship. This is she's sort of like a known side chick. Like, at the end of the day, you're a side chick because he's married. You're not going to be his wife. You know what I mean? You're a weekend girl. So how, like, what could you be expecting from this in the long run?
It makes me sad for her character because I love her. I think she's so smart. And
I want her to find somebody.
Yeah.
But Joe is not going to be it. I think the people in the chat agree. They said agree. Regardless to whether Joe is lying or not, Molly is kind of setting herself up for failure. She definitely is.
Yeah. She's a successful lawyer. She doesn't need a part-time boyfriend. She's not about that whole life. Yeah. Like, that's also a good question. What if Molly got pregnant?
What if she got pregnant? Ugh.
I know when Sharonis was on the show, we kind of spoke about that, like, in the terms of catching feelings. Like, what's the next step if it goes too far? So imagine it getting that far that she's not only caught feelings, but she's pregnant.
Oh, God.
What is she supposed to do?
She'll move to Chicago with the baby.
Right? Take her Roscoe's, take her baby, and get the hell out. Like.
Okay. So let's move on. The ladies. Issa. And all her friends, they go to the sexplosion.
Yeah, Issa, Tiffany,
Kelly. Tiffany, Kelly, and Molly.
And Molly.
They all go to the sexplosion event, which, is that a real event? I'm sure it is.
Maybe.
Even if it's not called sexplosion.
I feel like it is. They, like, the show has low-key been putting us on to stuff
some
in L.A.
Real stuff, right?
Like, Kiss and Grind, other stuff. I didn't know that was happening, so it could be real.
So they go to sexplosion. Of course, there's toys and all this stuff everywhere. And they get to this one booth that has all of these different flavored condoms there. And one thing that I like that they show Molly grabbing some condoms. And Issa's like, why are you grabbing condoms? Who are you sleeping with? And, you know, the other ladies didn't really pay attention to it. So then they see the sign that says to sign up for oral sex classes.
Mm-hmm.
And What did you think about that?
Yeah, I thought that was fine. I think where the conversation went after that was more interesting because I didn't see that coming on the show, the way that they had that conversation. And
I'm glad they brought it up, though.
No, I am glad they brought it up.
Talking about condoms this entire time, and they talked about blowjobs with condoms.
Yeah.
And Kelly, in particular, made a comment about, well, who gives blowjobs with condoms on? And I was like, oh, my God, Insecure really went there.
They really did.
But I'm glad that they went there because, like, people on Twitter and all social media have kind of been talking about the whole condom situation with Insecure this whole season. So yeah. I'm kind of glad that we kind of touched on it a little bit this episode. It was really important, especially when it comes to whether it's actual penetration or oral sex, safe sex, people. Safe sex, please.
Yes. They got called out for that. They did. That was their not so subtle way of saying, hey, safe sex, you know, that's the way to go.
Yes. So then the conversation goes on to then talking about basically how Black women do not go down on their men.
Well, yeah, that was an interesting, I know it was Tiffany's character who was saying that. She brought it up and they were talking about the just kind of stigma that Black women don't do it. And, you know, maybe that's why Black men go for white women because they're more willing to do it. And the way that each character kind of chimed in with their feelings about it, I think just told me so much about their characters.
Well, because I can't remember who exactly said, I think it was Issa who said basically, like, after Black women, you know, if they do that to a man, they're basically pushed aside.
Disposable,
and
yeah.
They're disposable afterwards. What do you think that's true? I feel like that's true if you are doing this to any and every man who's in your life. Like, if this isn't your man, somebody you're dating or in a relationship with, like, I don't know.
I mean, if that's all you're doing to that person, then, yeah.
That's what they're going to think of you.
But I think, you know, we're grown. If you're having sex and sexual relations with somebody, you know, oral sex, penetration, all that's kind of like part of it. If you're hooking up with someone, I don't know that that should necessarily make you any less of a person.
No.
If you're doing everything and all that. But, you know, maybe some Black men do feel that way. And maybe she's had those type of experiences. Maybe that's where that perspective came from.
Yeah.
But I don't know about that. I couldn't relate to that specific part of
right.
that.
Well, you know, just from having girl talk with, you know, different women, I've definitely heard people say that that's kind of true because, like we just said earlier, it's all stereotypes come from some sort of truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, unfortunately, I hate that that is a stereotype that some people have probably lived out. But
yeah,
I'm glad that they definitely called it out. And it's definitely an interesting subject for Tom. Oh, my God.
Oh gosh,
someone in chat says, so light-skinned women give blowjobs.
I mean, women who give blowjobs love giving
women,
blowjobs.
You
like,
know,
whatever.
We're grown women.
We are grown.
Just as long as you're safe, do what you do, right?
I will say what bothered me about this conversation, though, is that it felt a little bit, like, outdated. Like, I feel like literally in 2017, I can search up any article online about sex and I'll see more things about whether, you know, eating ass is okay at this point or people have come so far in terms of like fetishes and what's socially acceptable in terms of like butt stuff and all that. So to like kind of have this conversation about, ooh, like giving head, like that's so yucky or whatever about it. I was like, I feel like we're kind of past this conversation a little bit. It was cool that it was on screen. I was expecting Insecure to have a nuanced approach to it because they've had such cool perspectives on other things that I've seen so far.
Right.
I thought that one in particular was kind of like, I don't know. I have plenty of other friends, white, Black, Spanish, whoever, who give blowjobs and it has nothing to do with like
their ethnicity.
Yeah, so.
I don't know. I do feel like it was a little outdated, but I definitely think that is a topic that is still relevant in the Black community when it comes to Black women. Because, you know, I know some older and some younger women who are just like, either they're not doing it at all or they're not doing it for that reason.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. Let's see what the chat says. Really outdated about Black women won't do it.
Where did the condoms fit in this whole situation?
What do you mean? Like, do they use them or?
Yeah, how like, does that make a difference in this? Like, oh, well, like, I'll give a blowjob as long as I get to do it with a condom.
No.
Well, Kelly's character said that before. Like, who gives blowjobs with condoms anyway? Like,
yeah, and I think she kind of reverted back to saying that, oh, no, we do give blowjobs with condoms because that sexpert that was right there that was had the clipboard for the sign-up, right. She gave her a look like, excuse me, like you judging don't? Her. Yeah, and so she kind of felt bad about her initial reaction.
Yeah, I like that they pointed that out though, because I know a lot of people who think the same way, like who gives blowjobs with condoms on?
Yeah.
Like it's weird that.
I think that relates to that motel situation like you were talking about.
Definitely.
Like it just gives like a seedy feel, like, wait a minute, why do you want me to wear a condom? Or yep. Why do you want to wear a condom for this situation? Like, both ways, it's kind of, like, weird. Like, wait a minute, you don't trust me or we're not together enough that you're going to be out doing this with someone else? Or you're like, oh, let me wrap it up.
It reintroduces that kind of idea of, like, okay, well, what is this? Like, do you trust me? Do you not trust me? I mean, safe sex all the way for sure.
Safe sex all the way.
But
we're just going to leave it at that. Safe sex, people.
Everyone can have different points on this one.
The host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners.
And I think the funny thing, too, and we'll get off the topic in a second, is that they said that that's why when you do that to a man, this is how you'll control him. Mm. Which I don't necessarily feel is all the way true. I mean, when you have sex with someone, people's emotions and stuff are involved all the way around. So I wouldn't just limit it to blowjobs.
Exactly. You're intimate with somebody. They're emotionally connected to you. You're in the palm of their hand regardless of what is going on in the situation.
So let's move on to, like I said, we talked about Molly and Dro. Let's move on to Issa and Daniel.
The way the episode ends.
While we have our last few minutes here, Issa and Daniel. Daniel's kind of been busy. They haven't really been spending as much time together as they normally would. So that's kind of how they're kind of breaking the ice. You know, she's saying, oh, you're not busy anymore, this, this, and that. And they start drinking and kissing. And clearly, Issa was paying attention in the class that she went to at Sexplosion. And based on the conversation she had with her girls and she decides she wants to try something new. So to Daniel's surprise, Issa decides she wants to go down on him. And he seems to be liking it.
He really, really liked
it. Really liked it.
For someone, you know, Issa's made a comment earlier about just her teeth and how, like, sloppy and weird it can get. She went all in head first, literally. Into that situation.
That was hilarious.
I knew it was going to get awkward. It's not Issa if it doesn't get awkward at some point. I didn't know how, and I did not see that coming.
I did not.
Well, no pun intended, right. But he gave her a warning that he was about ready, and she didn't heed the warning.
That's where sex etiquette comes in. Like, are you supposed to warn? Like, that's something I feel like you should talk about before you just do what he did.
I don't know. I feel like he gave her, like, that moment to, like, move back. I would have stopped.
Yeah, but Issa, like she said, she doesn't do it. So she had no idea.
Damn, someone should have warned her. Girl, if he says he's about to come, he's about to come. You either stop or you're going to, that's where you discuss what happens next.
Exactly.
For sure.
I don't think, maybe she missed that part of the class because she did not back away. And she was not happy.
Daniel ain't missed. He got right in her
eye.
He got
it right in the eye. And when I tell you, I dropped my remote and hollered.
Me too.
Oh, my God.
I was not prepared for that. What had me weak, though, was the fact that she was still yelling at him, putting on her clothes, and her eyes still like this.
Just,
like,
she was not having
it. Damn it, I'm so upset right now. And just, I'm like, go to the bathroom. Wipe it out of your eye. Like, how are you still talking now?
She grabbed his t-shirt and she wiped her eye. And then she threw the t-shirt at him before she left. But I just feel like I kind of, a small piece of me felt bad for Daniel because, like he said, he didn't know that she, you know, wasn't gonna want to go all the way. But I kind of feel bad because the moment was ruined. But at the same time, like I said, you gotta have some etiquette here. You can't just go doing that.
Yeah, I think you made a good point from before that, like, maybe they should have spoke about it first, but that also would have killed the mood because she was trying to be surprised, you know, surprise him with that. I would have been like, before I do it, like, where are you going to,
right?
You know, like, or, you know, kind of trash you, do you spit or swallow? You know, like, some sort of cue, but I still think, though, that he gave her a chance at the end by telling her that he was about to come.
I just think maybe because it was their first time doing it. Like, you don't just do that on the first round.
True.
Right?
But
until you know the freak level.
Okay. Right? Where's the freak level on a scale of 1 to 10?
Issa's freak level is all the way down.
All the Issa was not ready.
All the way down. She was not ready.
She's just trying so hard.
She tried. I mean, from Daniel's mouth, he said she was doing a great job, but she just wasn't ready for the end results.
Poor girl. After that, she gets into the Uber pool. Driver messes up her name.
It's a carpool.
It's okay. I mean, after that scene, that was the icing on the cake. Yes. I was dead. But poor girl, we see, you know, Issa, she's dejected. She's in the back seat like, yo, I can't win.
Poor Issa.
Dude just came in my eye. The night just went left. Dude's calling me, it's a carpool. Like, just take me home.
Let's just go home and sit down.
Yo, that was so relatable, though. I've had some bad nights where I've hopped in an Uber pool after, and I didn't want to talk to nobody.
Nobody.
And Nikki, so how was your night?
Don't.
Where you been? And then the other person you're pooling with, oh, yeah, like, they either try and talk to you or get your number, or no. It's just, it's a mess.
Let Uber me just pool. Go home and drink some wine and go to sleep.
Ugh. Her night was done at that point.
It was. So let's get into some predictions. What do you think is going to happen next?
What do I think is going to happen next? So I think my prediction is about Lawrence and Aparna. Mm-hmm. I think that is going to go somewhere. I actually think that things will really go well with them, and I think Issa's gonna get exhausted of her rotation and maybe say, let me just reach out, put an olive branch to Lawrence and see, just try one more time and see what's up. And I think she's gonna be really crushed when she sees that he's moved on, even in a small way, with someone else. So,
yeah, I definitely agree with that. I feel like Aparna, she's not really like the side chick type of girl. You know, like, she's smart, she has a job. And I just kind of feel like something with her and Lawrence would be more than like a smash and dash situation. But I definitely see some chemistry there.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Issa, like you said, I definitely feel like she's going to get tired of this rotation. And a part of me, I hate to say it, I feel like I'm not seeing a lot of hope for her and Daniel. I mean, for her and Lawrence.
For them, like, finding their way back to each other?
Yeah, I feel like maybe at some point they might try, but I don't know if it's ever going to be what it used to be.
It doesn't feel like it right now, yeah, with everything that they're going through.
I don't think so. As far as Molly and Dro, like I said, I think Molly's going to and be the one who ends up with the short end of the stick. As we saw in the previews, Candace is showing up in the next episode, and we see that awkward moment between them, so I can't wait to see how that's going to turn
Me
out.
Me too!
I think Molly needs to move on. Don't keep giving Joe your time, because this is not going to end well.
I couldn't agree more. I don't want it to go up in flames before she makes that realization. Yeah. I want her to, like, save herself the humiliation, but it wouldn't be, you know, insecure.
It wouldn't be insecure.
If we didn't have some awkward, awkward, painful moments.
And the messiness. We need it.
Messy as.
Yes. So thank you guys so much for joining us for this episode. Hello, Blown. I am Ashley Allen. You can find me on all social media at Ashley Reed Allen. Make sure you subscribe, like us on iTunes, YouTube, all that great stuff.
Yeah, and it's been real recapping it with you guys. I'm your host, Christine Alexis, and you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Christine Bean. See you guys next week.
See you next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.